Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we gather in this space, we all arrive here with different thoughts, different concerns, different joys, different celebrations, different anxieties, different uncertainties on our mind. Yet you, in your wisdom, God, in your power, in your gracious love, you meet us and encounter us where we all need to be met this day. We live into this promise now as we come with open ears and open hearts and open minds to be met by you, our living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. You recall these words, I imagined. They are inscribed and often uttered on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. These words speak to the very fabric with which our nation has been quilted together. The rough patches of race, of color, of creed that have been sewn together to make this nation reminds us that despite all that indeed colors us different from one another, that we are made one people, one nation, through our common commitment to the honorable virtues as expressed in this poem on the Statue of Liberty. The honorable virtues of humility, of equality, of hope, and of compassion. These virtues shape us as the people of America when we are at our very best. Recently and over the past number of decades, our nation has been depicted as deeply divided. Red and blue, conservative and liberal, Republican and Democrat, patriot and pacifist. Yet, each of these depictions, at their very best, can be nothing more than a less than full and faithful reality. They are merely snippets of the truth. Think of your own life. Think of your own politics. Think of your own values. Could one word fully encapsulate who you are? Or could it fully encapsulate another? To be sure, these terms, these divisions that we use to label one another are sold to us, an ever-distracted populace. And they're sold to us as the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Not long ago, I was reading John Meacham's book, American Lion, about Andrew Jackson. Fascinating, fascinating book. And that was on the heels of reading about John Adams. And that was while I was also watching a show called about Washington spies, about the Culper Ring that helped turn the Revolutionary War in the favor of the Americans. And as I watched all of that, I was struck about how similar those days were to our own. Friends, political divisions, divided loyalties, and crazy things shared about one another and to each other are not merely the property of our time. Indeed, they were depicted as part of the founding of our nation. It seems that while the times have changed, human failure and jealousy are as alive today as it was then. Still, the saving grace, I believe, not only for our founding fathers and mothers, but also for us, is that despite differences and struggles, when we embrace and find the courage to give our hearts and our lives and commitment to the virtues, the honorable virtues of humility and equality and hope and compassion, when we do those things, amazing grace happens. A nation, an idea, the great American experiment, if you will, was forged from this imperfect time. And brothers and sisters, beauty and amazing grace and the American experiment continues to be a blessing to this world even amidst our difficult time now. Now it was true. It is indeed true that theirs was not a perfect humility back at the founding, nor was it total equality, to be sure. It wasn't the fullest of hope, nor was it complete compassion. But it is also true that 241 years from our founding, we are not perfectly humble, nor totally equal, nor the fullest expression of hope, nor completely compassionate. And I imagine that as long as human beings continue to make up our nation and any nation, I suspect this will be the case. Still, these honorable virtues upon which we have been founded, they are worth the striving, the struggling, and the frustration. To seek to live into these virtues together calls us beyond these simple labels that we attach to one another. For each one of us is way more complicated. Each one of us live lives that are rich with a depth of soil that no mere surface scratch can fully attest. And to do so, to live with one another to our fullest potential, not only as Americans, but primarily as Christians, we must live into the honorable virtues. We must have the courage to embrace them first. The courage to look beyond simple labels. The courage to envision a nation, a community of faith, a church of humble seekers of equality who are compassionate not only to others but to ourselves and who are purveyors, if not those who catalyze hope and peace in our world. Whenever we lose sight of this vision, of these honorable virtues, when we replace humility with revenge, when we replace equality with labeling, when we replace compassion with selfishness, and when we replace hope with fear, we cease to be our best not only as a nation, but as Jesus' followers. And we often can live into our worst. Like you, I proudly sing, "God Bless America." Yet, I do so praying that God will indeed bless all nations with grace and favor. I believe that our Christian church, our witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, best serves God and our nation from a position of outsider, from the position of being a prophetic critique to those things that happen within our nation that cease to live into the honorable virtues. I believe in the First Amendment and the separation of church and state. Why? Because I firmly believe that when the church and the state become too close, it is not the state that loses, it is the church. And it is its witness to the gospel. The church loses her will and ability to critique and to challenge when we are too often seduced by the alluring proximity of power and status and influence. Certainly, brothers and sisters, we both collectively and individually have a place in the political discourse of our nation. And that place always, I believe, is to be proclaimers of the honorable virtues, humility and equality and compassion and hope. And the reason is clear. The reason is clear for us who seek to follow Jesus, because these are the honorable virtues of the gospel. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Compassion from Galatians chapter 6. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The words of welcome from Jesus from Matthew chapter 11. From what we heard today, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, none of these will lose their reward. Matthew chapter 10. Humility, equality, compassion, and hope. Whatever congruence our national interest shares with God's vision for the world, brothers and sisters, it is found here in these virtues. And here alone. Whatever way that we individually or collectively as the followers of Jesus choose to participate actively in the politics of our nation, we must have as our cornerstone these virtues. Because at our best, as a nation, we live out these virtues. And the world is blessed. At our best, as a community of faith at Bethel Lutheran Church, when we live out these virtues for all to see, God is blessed. When you, as an individual, live out these virtues in your life for all to see, God is blessed. God is blessed because in God's gentle and humble heart, we are all equal. We are all worthy of compassion. And we are all extended hope in Christ. Indeed, this is the hope not only of those of us fortunate enough to live in this great land, but it is also the great hope for those who live in every land. Still, since we live here, heirs of the great experiment that is the United States of America, we are also called to hold fast to another great virtue given to us by our Lord. From one to whom much has been given, much is expected. Much is expected of you. As an American, and as a Christian, you are called to live out the ideals and virtues that make you and your nation and your church its very best. Humility, equality, compassion, and hope. The tired and poor, huddled masses came to these shores to breathe free. And as weary and burdened disciples, yoked to the oppression of sin, we, in the gift of Jesus, have been given rest and set free. At its best, our freedom, born both baptism and birthright, calls us to be a lamp of light, a city on a hill, shining in the darkness, and a wide open golden door, which provides refuge and welcome to all. In Jesus' name, amen.